This morning, America's first news starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
The makeover of NAFTA. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Rasa Kay, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka on this Tuesday, August 28. Thanks for being with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
The White House has negotiated a new trade deal with Mexico that includes significant new provisions, but there are still differences with Canada.
The late Senator John McCain wrote a letter to America to be read after he died. Hear his message.
The Nasdaq closed above 8,000 for the first time, driven by tech firms like Netflix and Amazon.
And the struggle at auto dealers to find and retain millennials as car salesmen.
It's becoming a bigger problem, and the effect for the customer is that you're going into a dealership now, and you may know more than the salesperson because there's tons of information on the internet that you can research, and you know the price you're willing to pay, and it creates this kind of uncomfortable experience.
Wall Street Journal reporter Adrian Roberts on why today's young adults are not interested in selling cars. That report in about 20 minutes. President Trump is a step closer to revising the North American Free Trade Agreement. Yesterday, the White House struck a deal with Mexico, but has crucial differences still with Canada. The Trump administration said it would give Canada until Friday to address those, including a revision that makes it harder for NAFTA members to challenge U.S. trade penalties. While Mexico accepted that change, Canadian officials have said for months that would be unacceptable.
It's a big day for trade, big day for our country. A lot of people thought we'd never get here.
Because we all negotiate tough. We do, so does Mexico. And this is a tremendous thing.
Among the significant new provisions, a clause that would boost the percentage of autos that would need to be made in North America to qualify for tariff-free cross-border trade allowed by NAFTA. It would also require a certain portion of cars to be made by high-wage workers, a response to long-standing U.S. union complaints over low-wage Mexican labor. The two victims killed at a Madden NFL 19 tournament in Jacksonville, Florida over the weekend are being remembered. Taylor Robertson, a 27-year-old from Giles, West Virginia, and Elijah Clayton, a 22-year-old from Woodland Hills, California, were both shot and killed by a gunman Sunday. Mr. Clayton was a former high school football player who was known as one of the perennial top competitors on the scene. He won $51,000 in tournaments in his gaming career. Mr. Clayton, who played under the name True Boy, graduated from Calabasas High School in 2014. Brandy Pettijohn is one of his relatives.
My cousin has to bury her firstborn. It is just as terrible as that sounds. Our family has been forever changed. Nothing will replace the love that we have for Elijah. There is a hole that will never be filled.
Meanwhile, Mr. Robertson played for the professional esports team called Dot City Gaming and used the handle Spot Me Please. He won $80,000 during his career and was the Madden Classic champ in 2016. The late Senator John McCain left a letter laying out his final thoughts, saying he would not trade a day of my life in good or bad times for the best day of anyone else's. Political strategist and longtime McCain aide Rick Davis read the letter addressed to Americans during a news conference yesterday afternoon.
Thank you for the privilege of serving you and for the rewarding life that service in uniform and in public office has allowed me to lead. I've tried to serve our country honorably. I've made mistakes, but I hope my love for America will be weighed favorably against them.
Mr. McCain died Saturday at the age of 81, surrounded by family, ending his battle with brain cancer. In the letter, Mr. McCain thanked his family, the nation, and his constituents. The one-time prisoner of war and two-time presidential candidate said he lived and died a proud American. He finished with, quote, "Do not despair of our present difficulties, but believe always in the promise and greatness of America, because nothing is inevitable here." It's 11 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Tuesday. The death of Arizona Senator John McCain will leave Congress without perhaps its loudest voice in support of the robust U.S.-led internationalism that has defined the country's security relations since World War II. Wall Street Journal reporter Gordon Lubold, who covers national security, says Mr. McCain, throughout his career, was a driving force behind the interventionist wing of the Republican Party, a faction that views overseas alliances and troop commitments as a stabilizing force in the world. Over his decades-long career as a political leader, he championed the troop surge in Iraq, intervention in Afghanistan, deep ties and joint exercises with allies from Japan to Europe, and an unwavering antagonism toward Russia. Gordon, set this up.
Yeah, you know, I think the idea is that Mr. McCain, you know, a lot of people agreed with him or disagreed with him, but that is kind of aside. He played a reasonably unique role because of his own background as a naval aviator, prisoner of war, father and grandfather, you know, four-star admirals. As I was talking to various people reporting the story, you know, I think that afforded him a particularly kind of rich and insightful look at foreign policy and national security combined. That and I think what to me struck me was because of his background, he kind of had the moral authority to essentially poke the military when it needed to be poked, or deservedly so, instead of what you sometimes get from members of Congress, which is kind of knee-jerk deference to the military's posture or activities or operations around the world.
You know, I thought it was interesting. Somebody you quoted in the story, it might have been Robert Gates, correct me if I'm wrong, he said, the one thing about Senator McCain, even if he didn't agree with you, you knew that the reason he disagreed was because he, in some way, had the best interest of the country in mind.
Right. Now, I think Monday morning quarterbacking, you know, people are sad that he's passed and everything. Clearly, he was enormously frustrating to a lot of people who were on the wrong end of his ire. I'm sure including Mr. Gates, but people I talked to and people who were public officials at the time, you know, or over the years have certainly all kind of been on the wrong end of that ire. And sometimes it seemed a little bit irrational. I think even Mr. McCain's own staff sometimes were, you know, baffled by, you know, the kind of bombastic of some of his kind of positions. But it is true that, you know, of all those people, they all still thought that, you know, he thought he was doing the right thing for the country and not just kind of blowing smoke or being, you know, overly political.
We're speaking with Gordon Lubold, national security reporter at The Wall Street Journal. He's written a piece entitled John McCain's Death Leaves Foreign Policy Void. Oh, so potentially stepping into those shoes, you mentioned South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham and Oklahoma Senator Jim Inhofe. Explain how that might work.
Right. So those are kind of two different things in a way. Technically speaking, Jim Inhofe, who has been the acting, he's the senior Republican on the Senate Armed Services Committee, that which is what gave Mr. McCain his voice, because that's the panel he chaired. Inhofe has been the acting during this period where Mr. McCain was sick and back in Arizona. He's expected to become the new chairman. He'll get that assignment sometime. It'll probably take a couple months or so to get that squared away. So he will be technically in that role. I don't know that Mr. Inhofe is necessarily going to assume kind of the mantle, you know, of Mr. McCain in that regard. Senator Lindsey Graham, you know, he and McCain were very closely aligned on many things, kind of almost joined to the hip, it seemed. And he has, I think he's seen by some, Admiral Mullen, who's the retired former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, was mentioning him and others, you know, as somebody who has that kind of presence and voice and knowledge and background to kind of play much of the kind of role that John McCain played.
All right. So do either of those men, Mr. Graham or Mr. Inhofe, have the military background or any military background?
Yeah. Well, Lindsey Graham was a member of the service, was an Air Force officer, if I'm remembering correctly. I don't want to say either way on Senator Inhofe, because I'm not exactly sure he might have. But Graham definitely was. And, you know, I think Graham is probably, you know, he's clearly a colorful personality in the Senate, probably more likely to be kind of the voice. Now, he's not going to be the chairman of the committee, but I don't think that's even really the point. It's more like who is going to play that role.
It's Wall Street Journal national security reporter Gordon Lubold in Washington. It's 21 minutes after the hour on this morning. Rasa Kay is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, President Trump announced a new trade understanding with Mexico that would replace NAFTA, but currently includes only two of the trade pact's three members.
They used to call it NAFTA. We're going to call it the United States-Mexico Trade Agreement.
Through a translator, Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto made a direct overture to the Great North.
It is our wish, Mr. President, that now Canada will also be able to be incorporated in all this.
Negotiations with Canada are expected to begin today. Stocks were off to the races on just a rumor of a trade deal and never looked back. The NASDAQ composite closed at an all-time high, breaking above 8,000 for the first time. The S&P 500 also set intraday and closing records. The 24-year-old gunman who opened fire at a Jacksonville, Florida video game tournament Sunday had previously been hospitalized for mental illness. Court records in David Katz's home state of Maryland show he was hospitalized twice in psychiatric facilities as a teen and prescribed antipsychotic medications. The information was in his parents' divorce records that also show Katz's parents disagreed on how to care for their troubled son. The White House flag was lowered again to half-mast, a reversal to honor Senator John McCain, and President Trump signed a proclamation that the flag will stay lowered until McCain's interment Sunday. In a statement, President Trump says he's asked Vice President Mike Pence to offer an address at the ceremony at the U.S. Capitol Friday and asked other cabinet officials to represent the administration. The funeral for a Colorado mother, her two young daughters, and unborn son will be held this weekend in North Carolina. Shannon Watts and her girls were reported missing in Frederick, Colorado, August 13th, before their bodies were found days later. She was 15 weeks pregnant. Her husband, Chris Watts, is accused of killing them. He's being held without bail in Colorado's Weld County Jail. Philadelphia schools, among many districts, dismissing students early today and tomorrow because of the intense heat. Some 70 million Americans under some level of heat advisory or warning this week. The National Weather Service says parts of the Midwest and Northeast will see the heat index sizzle near 100 this week. But in western portions of Wyoming and Montana, they've got snow up to 8 inches in some spots. And for anyone near a Starbucks, a taste of autumn. Pumpkin spice lattes make their return there today, while Dunkin' Donuts officially rolled out all of its fall-flavored and gourd-flavored coffees yesterday.
As the temperature reaches 100 degrees.
Well, it's not so great on ice, but
yeah,
that pumpkin spice, man. Mm-mm-mm.
Anytime.
Anytime.
Any time of the year.
Yeah.
24 minutes after the hour. Glad you're with us. Car dealerships are facing a roadblock, convincing young workers to stay in the auto retail business. It's a story by Wall Street Journal autos reporter Adrian Roberts. What's going on?
What's going on is turnover of salespeople and the ability for dealers to attract salespeople has always been a problem. It's, you know, it's not the most glamorous job, but what's happening is as this younger millennial generation and the generations after them enter the workforce, they're really rejecting this whole style of work, which is, you know, getting in at 8 in the morning, not leaving until every sale is complete and, you know, could be until 2 a.m., working weekends. You know, it's commission-based pay, which so you don't have any of that certainty, you know, at the end of each week that you're getting a paycheck. So it's becoming a bigger problem, and the effect for the customer is that you're going into a dealership now, and you may know more than the salesperson because there's tons of information on the internet that you can research, and you know the price you're willing to pay, and it creates this kind of uncomfortable experience where you may be saying, I'm willing to pay this price, and I know what I want, and the salesperson really isn't there with you. So it's affecting, you know, all parts of this industry.
Wow. How do the salespeople get paid? I know you mentioned commission. They get nothing, like no base pay at all?
Not often. I mean, some people are changing, but the usual style is you get a certain percentage of whatever the dealer takes home for the vehicle. But that is really, that margin is so slim now because, like I said, if you walk into a dealership and you say, I know the car, you paid this much for the car and I'm not willing to pay a penny more. Well, the dealers are like, oh, we just got to make a sale. So they'll take that. So now dealers are starting to pay based on volume. And sometimes some are doing, you know, a salary or hourly pay, but the majority still do this commission-based pay, which doesn't, you know, it's until you get really good at selling cars, you might not make a lot of money at the beginning.
So this doesn't fit with the values too, I think you were explaining. Talk about that a little more, like, because millennials, what, don't like to negotiate?
Yeah, they don't like to negotiate, and they the idea of going in and haggling is just not something they're used to. This is a generation that, you know, can buy pretty much anything they want on the internet. They can read all the reviews about it, and it's a seamless experience. And buying a car is kind of the one thing left where you have to go in and you don't know what you're going to pay.
It's Wall Street Journal reporter Adrian Roberts. It's 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and advanced manufacturing. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
Catch America's First News online anytime at ThisMorningWithGordonDeal.com.
Thanks for being with us. And welcome into Tuesday, August 28. Gordon Deal with Rasa Kay, who's filling in for Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Trump is closer to reworking NAFTA. The White House re-lowers flags to honor John McCain after raising them 2 days after his death. It's primary day in Arizona, Florida, and Oklahoma. As many as 70 million people face a heat wave in the central and eastern U.S. The Giants' Odell Beckham is the highest-paid receiver in football with a new 5-year, $95 million contract, $65 million of which is guaranteed. And the latest city to embrace a marketing prank. We'll have that story in about 20 minutes. We're coming to you today from the Dell Studios. Dell Small Business Technology Advisors know there's nothing small about your business. They provide one-on-one partnership and reliable Dell PCs with Intel Core processors to get business done. A psychotherapist and grief expert says the deadly shootings at a video game tournament in Jacksonville, Florida, is showing how we need better grief support. So says Megan Devine, also author of a book called It's Okay That You're Not Okay. She's based in Portland, Oregon. Megan, how do you react when you hear these stories?
For me, the very first thing I think of when I hear these news stories is those poor families, right? They were having a perfectly ordinary day, and suddenly that world has vanished in an instant because of somebody else's choices, probably somebody they don't know, never knew at all. And it's that. That's where my mind goes, is somebody's world just evaporated, and what are they going to do, right? We're so ill-equipped to respond to grief, even sort of the normal end of a lifespan, grandparents in their 80s dying thing. We're as a culture, we're not really sure what to do with that sort of thing. And then you throw in this completely aberrant, atypical, violent death that came out of nowhere, and what are we supposed to do with that? What is the person who's surviving that supposed to do as a direct friend or family member? But what are those persons, that person's support teams supposed to do? We're all just kind of horrified.
Yeah. There's a bullet point in your notes here which says, our think positive culture contributes to our own personal sense of helplessness when faced with friend or family member's grief. Explain that.
Yeah. So the positive thinking culture is things like you pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Anything bad that happens is just to help you grow into a better, stronger person. That sort of thing. The put on a smile and it will change the world. Change your thoughts and think for a positive outcome and all things will go your way. That's what I mean when I'm talking about the positive thinking culture. There are places for that. Absolutely. Grief is not one of those places. Right? You can't look at somebody whose fiance or their brother was just gunned down in an outdoor mall and say, if you think about this better, you're actually going to see that it's going to work out for good and everybody's going to become stronger. Like, oh my gosh, what a terrible thing to say.
Yeah.
Right? But that's when we talk about hardship at all, it's usually sort of on that foundation of bad things happen to help you grow, and with the right attitude, things won't hurt so badly. And again, there are places for that, but grief is not one of those places.
We're speaking with Megan Devine. She's a psychotherapist and grief expert, and she's got a book out too. It's called It's Okay That You're Not Okay. And we're talking about dealing with the grief following the deadly shooting in Jacksonville, Florida at that gaming tournament. You said too, our society's tendency to judge grief damages relationships and stifles conversation. How?
So if you're sitting with somebody who's grieving and they're sad, right? Or they're talking about their person in what you think is like too much, excessively. And we kind of telegraph that judgment, right? You're doing this wrong. There's no right way to grieve. But again, what we said a minute ago was like the way our culture thinks about grief is just this little unfortunate blip that you have to work through quickly to get back to being sort of happy and productive. We can judge somebody else's grief against what we think we would do in that situation. One of the things that I'll say often to friends and family members who are trying to be supportive but really kind of missing the mark is, I hope you never have to know how wrong you are. Because the kind of hazing that happens for somebody whose life just went sideways, their person died, we get a really quick education in what it's like to be a grieving person. And suddenly all of those ways that we think about being supportive, you can really feel how painful they are. That judgment that we have about how somebody else is dealing with their grief, it's normal. I mean, humans make judgments. I'm not saying that we shouldn't judge. It's just like you want to question your judgments. And I hope you never, you know, if you're sitting there and you're saying like, oh, I mean, we saw this with the Parkland students, right? There was a lot of social media backlash that said, they're too angry, they're too sad. There was one post that came out where the kids were hanging out together and laughing, and there was backlash about that. Like, how dare they be laughing after they just saw their friends die? The judgment that we rush in with when we're uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we're doing, right? Somebody else's pain makes us uncomfortable. It makes us feel helpless. It makes us butt up against the reality that random things can happen, and we don't like that.
Psychotherapist Megan Devine, her book again is called It's Okay That You're Not Okay. 20 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you could be with us. Welcome into Tuesday, Beyond the Headlines Now. This morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, we have some bad news for Florida residents who enjoyed eating out while petting monkeys. Monkey Mondays are hereby canceled. To explain, a couple recently started going out weekly to a Carrabba's Italian Grill location in Stuart, Florida, and dining outside along with two of their pet monkeys, including a 9-month-old capuchin named Jojo. The tradition was so popular that with customers and the staff that it became known as Monkey Monday. That was until one of the monkeys bit an 8-year-old boy. According to the Miami Herald, another diner approached the couple in July and asked if his 8-year-old son could pet their monkey sitting in a high chair at the table. They warned the man to be careful because Jojo was, quote, being hyper. The first encounter with Jojo went well, but later the boy tried to play again with the monkey when the animal got scared and bit down on the boy's finger. The boy went to the hospital to have the wound checked and cleaned, and he was sent home. The manager of the Carrabba's, where the bite happened, says the company changed its policy. No more monkeys on the patio, only recognized service dogs and ponies.
Mm.
So no monkeys, but ponies. Ponies are good to go.
Right.
Ponies can bite, too.
Yeah.
I'm dogs, certainly, for sure, but ponies, you know, ponies can bite. They look friendly, but yeah, I wouldn't put my finger near a pony's mouth.
Just imagine, like, the decision-making process.
Yes.
For Monkey Monday.
Right.
What do you think, guys? Allow some monkeys into our restaurants?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, that's a big national chain, Carrabba's. I'm not exactly sure how that got through their policy and standards there. That doesn't seem to make a lot of sense.
Decision-making allowed at the local level.
Yeah, I suppose apparently. So. I guess that's what they call that, right? Yes.
That's yeah, no, monkeys are just, I think, generally considered dirty animals, right?
Right.
Maybe not the domestic ones.
Yeah, I can't imagine it's the cleanest thing in the world. Health department probably would want to know about that. Yeah,
I'll pass on the Monkey Mondays.
And even in this world, Gordon, where fast food brands and sports teams duke it out for social media supremacy, it still appears that we need some lessons on how to properly use Twitter as a marketing tool for your brand rather than letting it make you into an instant punchline. Take, for instance, the Kansas Jayhawks football team. 3-33 over the past three seasons and winless on the road for nearly a decade. According to USA Today, yesterday, the official Twitter account for Baby J posted a photo of the Kansas mascot sitting in a trash can with the caption, "If I fit, I sit." didn't take long, as you might imagine, for Twitter to respond to the unfortunately banned post, with most responses being some version of, "You guys are making this too easy," or "Kansas football summed up in one photo." One user said that Kansas had already taken its first loss before the season even started. Yeah. The post has since been removed. Kansas will open its season on Saturday against FCS opponent Nicholls State.
Yeah. Got a shot there against Nicholls State.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm not sure what the betting line is on that one.
What are you doing, Kansas? Yeah, you're certainly going to take an L on September 15. You know why?
Why is that? Oh, Rutgers?
Rutgers comes to town.
Oh, boy.
Watch out.
Now, that's an epic matchup.
13 minutes now in front of the hour. Glad you could be with us. Senator John McCain died after a year-long battle with glioblastoma, the deadliest form of brain cancer in people. It is rare, with only about 20,000 cases in the U.S. each year. Glioblastoma can be very difficult to treat, and curing it is often not possible. But CBS News says researchers are currently looking at one regimen being tested in dogs with a canine version of the cancer. Researchers at Virginia Tech are enrolling dogs with glioblastoma into a clinical trial. The drug is injected directly into the tumor, specifically attacking the cancer while leaving the healthy brain tissue undamaged. The researchers say the results are so promising that the National Institutes of Health is now helping fund the trial, hoping it could eventually lead to a breakthrough in humans. Laura Kaminsky's dog, Emily, a 10-year-old Portuguese water dog, is one of the participants. It's been 6 weeks since the first treatment, and Ms. Kaminsky says the dog has not had a seizure and has been herself. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Rasa Kay is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, stocks soared into record territory after the U.S. and Mexico reached a tentative trade deal. The Nasdaq Composite broke past 8,000 for the first time and closed at an all-time high. Negotiations with Canada on the deal to replace NAFTA begin today. President Trump's first public comments on the death of Senator John McCain came last night at a White House event celebrating evangelical leaders.
There's going to be a lot of activity over the next number of days, and we very much appreciate everything that Senator McCain has done for our country.
The White House flag was lowered again to half-mast, a reversal after it was raised Monday morning. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says the Senate will never be the same without McCain.
John McCain has fought his last battles and cast his final votes. But the nation he loved is still not done with him yet. This week will be dedicated to remembering him.
McConnell, though, stopped short of supporting a move by Senator Chuck Schumer to rename the Russell Senate office building for McCain. The FBI swarmed the Baltimore home of David Katz yesterday to gather evidence. Katz opened fire Sunday at a gaming bar in Jacksonville, Florida, killing two people and wounding nine others before fatally shooting himself during the Madden NFL 19 tournament. Jacksonville Sheriff Mike Williams.
So he purchased the firearms in Maryland, in Baltimore, and based on the investigation at this point, he legally purchased the firearms from a licensed dealer.
Court records show Katz was treated for psychiatric issues at least twice in the past. Chicago investigators are scouring the porch area of a little village home where a fire killed six children and two adults and left two others in very critical condition Sunday, looking for evidence of fireworks, cigarettes, or other combustibles. Fire department officials say kids had been known to set off fireworks from the porch of that Southwest Side apartment. Investigators haven't determined the fire's cause. Statue of Liberty was evacuated after a propane tank caught fire at a construction site on Liberty Island in New York Harbor. No explosions, and a construction worker was treated and released at the scene. And an odd security breach at the world's fifth busiest airport. A man is in custody after he scaled a fence at the Los Angeles International Airport and ran onto a runway where witnesses say he started doing push-ups before airport police apprehended him. No one was hurt, just bewildered.
Okay. Odd place to do your exercises.
But cardio's good.
Okay. Got the climbing in, I guess. Too,
got the arm work.
The push-ups, yeah. Thank you, Rasa. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. Turns out everybody's got a price, right, including the town of Mayo, Florida. The small north central Florida town changed its name to Miracle Whip as part of a branding prank to draw attention to the city. Saturday, the city, home to fewer than 1,500 people, unveiled its water tower with the new name and hosted a picnic featuring foods made with Miracle Whip. In exchange for being known as Miracle Whip for several days, the city will get up to $25,000 in city beautification funds. The city of Mayo, named after the Confederate Colonel James Mayo, sits 80 miles southeast of Tallahassee. This is the latest attempt, by the way, to boost brand recognition and city coffers. 2 months ago, Domino's Pizza paid for fixing potholes in the small town of Milford, Delaware. In exchange for topping the fixed potholes with the Domino's logo, the city got $5,000. By the way, Miracle Whip does not have enough oil to be called mayonnaise, even though it has many of the same ingredients like oil, eggs, vinegar, and water. For Rasa Kay, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.